pray. Amen. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Well, that's very important. The word pillar there means that which something stands upon. The Bible says that the truth stands upon the church. Also, a pillar is something that stands on the ground. It has to have a foundation. So not only is the church the pillar of truth, but also the church is the ground of truth. Very important. This world, the Bible says, talks about truth and says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we need truth in this world. There's a lot of lies in this world. There's a lot of deception in this world. And tonight, the Bible doesn't say that the White House is the pillar and ground of the truth. It'd be good if there were some truth in the White House, but it doesn't say that the pillar and ground of the truth is the White House. It doesn't say that it's the House of Legislature or any other political organization. It doesn't say that your house is the pillar and ground of truth. It says that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. You say, preacher, what does that mean, the church? Well, there's two things there that are mentioned. One, there's a church which we recognize as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in heaven. But also down here on earth, which is here what we're talking about, this passage is addressed to a local assembly. Because we get to heaven, there'll be no need for bishops there. But in this chapter, we talk about bishops and preachers here. And in heaven, there'll be no need for deacons. There may not even be any deacons in heaven. I don't know. Some of the ones I've known, I don't know if they'll be there or not. But in heaven, there'll be no need of deacons in heaven. Why? Because there'll be no widows to visit in heaven. Amen. There'll be no widows. There'll be no hungry people in heaven. Amen. And listen, and they're really, I hear a lot of preachers say, I can't wait to get to heaven and preach, and that sounds good, but they ain't gonna need you to preach in heaven. Amen. To listen to preach, it means declare the good news. What we'll all do in heaven, we'll all sing, amen, and we'll all glorify God, and I believe we'll get to testify a little bit or whatever, something like that, and we'll get to praise God, but nobody will have to stand up and preach and try to warn people and tell people not to go to hell, because once you're in heaven, it's all settled, amen. But so this passage is not just talking about some invisible organization somewhere. Someone says, I'm a member of the church, the universal church, and that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a local, a Bible-centered, Bible-based church, and he said, in the church, there ought to be a preacher. Boy, thank God for preachers, amen? There ought to be somebody that stands up week in and week out and lifts the Word of God up, and listen, I believe preaching is important, amen? Listen, it's important we have somebody who'll stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God and not worry about what anybody has to say about it. Don't ever underestimate preaching, amen? Don't ever undervalue preaching. It's imperative. In this world today which we live, we need preaching like we've never needed it before, amen? I mean, we need preachers like we've never needed preachers before. You look throughout the history of this world, and you look throughout Israel, they had prophets of God, which to them were preachers, and those preachers would stand. Think about Ezekiel. What a man Ezekiel was. What a preacher Ezekiel was. He went and stood and preached, and the people, they act like they were listening to him. They act like they were interested to him, and he'd preach, and they'd turn around and just keep on doing the same stuff. God told him to do all kinds of stuff and to try to illustrate to them how important it was to listen, and they didn't hear anything he said. One day God told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, he said, I got some news for you. He said, your wife is going to die. He said, your wife is going to die. And he said, what you're going to do when she dies, he said, you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to go preach just like you preach today, as if your wife never even died. And the people are going to find out that your wife is dead and you're out here preaching and you're still trying to warn them. And listen, and can I tell you that when Ezekiel got up that morning, he did exactly what God told him to do. He went out on the street corner and just kept preaching. And can I tell you that God used that to get through to those hard-hearted people. And for the first time in the ministry of Ezekiel, they listened to what he had to say. Say, preacher, I want to be a preacher. I sure wouldn't want to have to do what Ezekiel did. But I tell you what, if you're going to be a God-called preacher, you got to do what God says to do. Amen. You got to obey God. And listen, hey, one of the things that preachers are good for, and there's not very many, but one of the things that preachers are good for, preachers are supposed to reprove, the Bible says. The preachers are supposed to rebuke, the Bible says. And preachers are supposed to exhort with all long-suffering. Boy, we need people like that. I've told this illustration before and this story before. Whenever I was about the age of Cherish and Precious and these girls down here, when I was a little boy, I used to walk and my feet turned in like this right here. They turned in like this. probably even smaller than that. Maybe the age of Sarah back there, or Kayla, about their age, my feet would turn in. And the doctor gave me these braces, things that turned my feet out like this, you know, and I walk like a duck. And then they gave me another brace that made my feet turn out. And my dad come home from work, and he saw that, and not that he was too proud, but he saw me trying to play on the farm like that and he told mom, he said, just take those off of him. And my dad and my brother began to work on me. And every time they would see me, they would say, turn your feet out, Travis. Turn your feet out. I'd be walking my feet. They'd say, turn your feet out. And I go, like that. And they'd say, turn your feet out. And they just kept telling me, turn my feet out. Hey, guess what? I don't know if it was a miracle or not, but whatever that problem was, it's gone today. Amen. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Why? Because they just kept telling me. They just kept telling me. And that's one of the wonderful things about a preacher, is he just stands up and just keeps telling us, do right, do right, do right. Hey, and if you listen, you might walk straight someday. Amen. I'd have been crippled if they hadn't kept telling me to turn my feet out. There's a whole lot of Christians that are crippled because they get saved and they got a preacher that's afraid to stand up and tell them to turn their feet out and walk straight. And they're crippled Christians because nobody would stand and preach and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering. Thank God for preachers that aren't ashamed to stand up and preach the Word of God and not back down. Amen. But listen, hey, it's not always popular. The message is not always popular. I think about Jeremiah. He was called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah would preach to the children of Israel, and as he would preach, he would weep, and tears would run down his eyes, and he would beg the people to listen, and he would beg them to turn from their ways, but they ignored Jeremiah, and the people went into captivity. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Isaiah. Isaiah was a great preacher. Isaiah was a great prophet of God. He was as near to a New Testament preacher as any of the Old Testament preachers. And I want you to look in Isaiah just for a minute. In Isaiah chapter number 59, there's a parallel verse to the verse we read a moment ago. There's an Old Testament verse that indicates the verses that we read just a moment ago in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3, an old preacher named Paul was writing to a young preacher named Timothy. And he was writing so that all the other preachers that ever read Timothy would take heed to what was written. And that all the other churches that ever come along would take heed to what was written. 1 Timothy chapter 3 was good for then. It's still good for today. A preacher ought to live by what we read in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Amen. A deacon ought to live by what we read in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. You say, preacher, that's too high a standard. Well, come up to the standard. Let's not lower the standard. Amen. Boy, today they want to lower the standard. I mean, they say, well, that's just a new day. Well, let's not change the Word of God. Amen. It doesn't change. Let's just go ahead and raise ourselves to the standard that God has for us. And you say, preacher, that's too hard, but I think God would bless it, don't you? I think God would bless a church in the 21st century that patterned itself after the churches in the first century, don't you? If God blessed those churches, can I tell you this? He didn't bless them because of the nice brochures that they passed out on soul winning and visitation. They didn't have full collar tracts and slick paper. I heard a bunch of preachers this week talking about slick paper. That's honest. That's what they said. And I was sitting with them. They said, you gotta have a slick paper track. And they're good men, but honest to goodness, listen, I got a black and white Bible that works pretty good, and there's not a picture in it. Amen. Some of you got pictures in yours. You need it. I mean, listen, you don't have to have a slick track. You don't have to have a slick presentation. See, but preacher, it's the 21st century. You got to impress people. I'm going to tell you what. You won't impress one person into heaven. You might trick some people into hell, but if you're going to get anybody who's going to get saved, it's a providential work of God that saves a man's soul. People get saved today just like they always did, and that's by the preaching of the Word of God, the entrance of Thy Word. They hear the truth, and God works in their hearts, and God blesses the preaching of His Word and the ministering of His Word. God blesses the teaching of His Word. That's how people get saved. Amen. They don't get saved by our slick methods. This ain't, man, we ain't Walmart or we're not. You say, preacher, I think we ought to do everything and try to keep up with the Joneses. I don't think we can, amen. I don't think God intended for us to. I think we ought to be neat. We ought to do right. But friend, listen, that ain't the way we're going to do it, amen. God builds a church. As Brother Eric prayed just a moment ago, it was the Lord that added to the church. I heard some folks talking about, and again, I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but they were talking about, how do you get people to join the church? Last time I checked my Bible, it was the Lord. Amen. I always felt like the ones that should will and the ones that won't. And I thank God for the ones that do, and I rejoice in the ones that don't. Amen. Listen, I pray, God, give us the folks you want and keep out the ones you don't want, because this is your church and I'm not going to try to mess it up. Amen. If God don't want me here, I pray get me out, because this church is His church. Amen. I wouldn't want to mess it up, and I wouldn't want anybody else to mess it up. In Isaiah chapter 59, look what the Bible says. A very important prophetic verse. There's a lot of sermons here. I'm not going to preach all of them. I may not even preach any of them. But I'm going to hint at preaching one of them at least. Amen. Isaiah 59, verse number 14. Very important. Look what it says. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Look what the Bible says. For truth is fallen in the street. Truth is fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter. What's the pillar and ground of the truth? Church. What's the truth supposed to stand on? What foundation does the truth stand on? Somebody tell me. What pillars hold up the truth? The church. Isaiah prophesying here says, judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. The Bible says there's a roadblock. There's an obstruction in the street. And it's truth. You know what stands in the way of revival today? You know what stands in the way of God working in America today? It's not the flakes. You know what stands in the way of God blessing America today? Our churches. Our churches that have dropped their standards. Our churches that have let truth fall in the street. We have today, for some reason or another, our churches have dropped the ball. And today, listen, the thing that keeps the judgment out, and the thing that keeps equity out, is the fact that truth is fallen in the street. Verse 15 says, yea, truth faileth. Truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Let me explain something to you. Verse 16 says, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. Listen to me just for a minute. I'm going to show you in just a second what that verse means. First, I'm going to tell you what I believe it means. It means that God withdrew His grace. You see, God extended salvation. And here this verse says that when the church has failed to be the pillar and ground of truth, when the church has failed to fulfill its commission, when the churches have failed to fulfill their duty, God says He withdraws salvation. Listen to me tonight. There is no other method that God has ordained to reach this world than through and by the local churches. None. There's none. Can I tell you tonight that the only hope for this world is the local churches? That's it. Can I tell you tonight that the only hope for these young people that are here tonight is the local New Testament church? There is no organization that can save this world. And I'm not talking about the church saving the world, but the only hope for this world and for any extending of God's grace and mercy is the church. You see, when churches fail, when local New Testament churches fail, That's the diminishing of hope for a nation. France, Italy, Spain, England, those countries are gone. I mean, those countries are all but overrun. Every one of those nations I just said to you, every one of those nations, by the year 2030 will be overrun by Islam. Every one of them. Every one of them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every one of those nations will be overrun by Islam, if not sooner than 2030. See, that's a long time away, is it? 20 years? 18 years? It's not just a birth rate problem. It's a propagation of the gospel problem. In the 1800s, a man named Charles Spurgeon was a preacher of the providential grace of God. And Charles Spurgeon, and he's criticized in our day, and they called him everything under the sun. What he was a gospel preacher. And Charles Spurgeon preached in London Gospel Tabernacle, and souls were saved. And listen, I've read the sermons. I've got them in there. I've read the sermons where Spurgeon is preaching to his church in England. And telling the people not to be discouraged when members of our church leave, when they surrender to the mission field and they go off to America to preach the gospel. You know what that means? That means in the 1860s in London, England, there was a church that was sending missionaries to America to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in our country. There are none of those in England today. There are none of those over there today. There are none of those in Italy today. Those countries, friend, are upside down. Why? Because the churches have failed. You can go there and those churches are falling to the ground. Physically, they're gone. But long ago, they quit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They failed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those countries, you can prop them up and do everything you want to try to do. But those countries are sunk tonight. It's all because the churches failed. The church has failed. And I'm saying to you tonight, listen, the Bible says he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. You know what an intercessor is? Someone that stands and pleads between God and man. Can I tell you tonight that there are very, very few churches that even have any idea what a prayer meeting is anymore? Very few churches have any. I was encouraged this past Thursday night as we closed our service. We gathered around and I heard people praying and calling out to God. And can I tell you that that is the only hope? I'd rather have that than I would to have 10,000 projectors and big screen televisions, all that junk in the world. Would to God we'd have some people that come out to church at prayer meeting and call out to God and pray and intercede to a holy God for a country in which we live in. You can think anything you want to me. I really don't care. It really don't matter. The only hope for this country is intercessors. The only hope for this nation is intercessors. Friend, you can vote for whoever you want. Now, hopefully you found out by now that that's all a bunch of chicanery, a big game. And I still think you ought to vote right. But friend, you can vote for either side of the aisle, whatever you want to do. You can say what you want to say. But the only hope for this country is the prayers of God's people. Intercessory prayer. Said, preacher, I can't do much, but you can pray. You can pray. You can intercede before God and say, God, we need revival. God, we need something to happen. Listen, I'm standing up here tonight. I'm not just here for my health. I'm not just here to yell at you. It may seem that way. I'm just trying to encourage you tonight just to keep on lifting up the truth. Just keep on praying and interceding before God. Man, some of you folks, some of us, we've grown up in church and we've seen the churches change throughout the years and we've seen them go after this method to try to get people saved. Friend, listen, I love Revelation 3:20. But I have a little problem with it. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock if any man hear my voice. And we always use that verse for gospel. But if we were preaching the way we ought to be preaching, it wouldn't be Jesus standing at our heart's door knocking. It would be us standing knocking for Him to let us in. Amen? You see, if we were preaching and letting the people know, friend, listen, that they're guilty before God, a man is born a sinner. A man is born under the law. Can I tell you that under the law, you've got to keep every point of the law, young people. If you fail in one law, you're doomed to spend eternity in hell. And there's only one that fulfilled the law, that would satisfy the wrath of God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you get to Him, unless you come to Him and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you're doomed to go to hell under the condemnation of the law. Under the law, there's no salvation. Under the law, there's no hope. Under the law, there's no cure. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ came and He was above. Listen, He fulfilled the law. And when you get saved, listen, you're saved by one that is greater than the law. You've got to get to Jesus. We preach it out and we make it out to look like Jesus is running around trying to get together a crowd because heaven's running short on company. Friend, that's not the way it ought to be. Brother, listen, this country was built on revival preaching. I think it was one of the great old preachers that preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. And there in that sermon in Massachusetts, when he preached that sermon, he preached it in a city called Sodom. It had been so nicknamed Sodom because of the wickedness of that city. And he didn't know when he went and preached there what the city was like. But he found out right away that the city was wicked and vile and filthy. And he preached that night. And while he was preaching, the sinners cried out to God, "Oh God! Oh God, save me! Oh God, show me how to be saved!" Friend, listen, why? Because he dangled them. They say he dangled them with a thread over hell. And they realized that they were but one heartbeat from hell. We don't have that kind of preaching today. We've got the television evangelists that want to stand up and so-called pastors of the largest churches in America and want to smile at everybody and tickle everybody and make everybody happy. Friend, listen, that kind of stuff is standing in the way of revival. It's not the White House that stands in the way of revival. It's churches that have dropped the truth, that have failed, that are not preaching the truth. That's what stands in the way of revival. All over this area, we've got little churches. And those churches have gone out to the bookstores and they've got the books and they've got the methodology and they've got the ideas from other places, and they're trying to mimic those places when what they ought to do is intercede before God. The key to this country's survival, the key to our church's survival, is the old-fashioned prayer meeting. The key to this country is Christians living right before God and lifting up the truth. And here it is, friend. Hey, let's just keep peddling the truth. Amen. Just keep preaching the truth. You see, the Bible says he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. Now look, I'm going to show it to you. And his righteousness, it sustained him. What's God saying? He's saying that he's changing. He's shifting gears. Let's see it. And I'm almost done. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. Sounds to me like he's getting ready to go to war. Sounds to me like he's getting ready to go to battle. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. Listen, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Verse 18 says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. It sounds to me like we've departed from the age of grace. And these passages, when truth fails, when the churches fail, the very next thing that we're going to see is Holy Savior puts on his garments of wrath. And he begins to unleash his fury and his judgment. The Bible says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Verse 19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Here's the message tonight. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The only hope for America is the churches. The purpose of our churches are to lift up the truth. You know, most churches don't even know which Bible to use anymore. They've gone after such lies that, and some of you here, you may not understand what I'm saying. But either God spoke His word or He didn't. I mean, you can't have such a proliferation of scriptures that you got 20 or 30 different Bibles out there. That's a mockery. That's a shame. See, preacher, well, the truth somewhere, I wouldn't want to serve a God that couldn't preserve the truth somehow. Amen. Just to say it somewhere doesn't mean anything. I mean, but today our churches are so filled up with that, people don't even carry their Bible to church anymore. They just put it on the screen and read it off the screen. So, well, it's a lot easier that way. No, it's not. It's not. Because I changed my mind too much. Amen. But friend, listen. We desperately need tonight to realize that the hope for our communities, the hope for our country, the hope for our families is our church. And there never will be a bad investment made in a good Bible-believing church. Listen, the investment of your time in a good Bible-preaching church is not a bad investment at all. Not because you're trying to build a church, but because the church, the Lord builds the church. Amen? But I tell you what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen? And if you ever find a church that lifts up the standard of the truth and lifts up the Word of God, I'd get full-fledged in. I'd support that thing and I'd be right in there, friend. And I'd say amen to the church that'll lift up the banner of the truth. Amen? I'd want to be an interceder. Instead of staying at home watching the championship football game, I'd want to be in church. Amen? I wouldn't spend 5 seconds in a church that would close its service down for the Super Bowl on Sunday night. Amen? You say, well, we'll just get together and we'll watch the game. Fully on a... Hey, I can't even preach about that kind of stuff without cussing. Amen? That ain't right, friend. Listen, that ain't right. What's the problem with that? You're damning my country with that kind of an attitude. This church is the pillar and ground of the truth, not the pillar and ground of the Super Bowl. Shame on a church that'll trade preaching for a ball game. Shame on a church where the preacher will curtail the sermon to satisfy somebody. We need our churches to lift up the Word of God once again. We need our Christians to pray like never before. We need tonight. You say, preacher, there's no hope. It's too late. It might be. But if it is too late, and if there is no hope, it's because our churches have given up. My Savior Jesus Christ, who is the author and the founder, He's the shepherd, the chief shepherd of the church. He said when He went away, He said, occupy till I come. That word occupy means to go in business. You can be defeated if you want to. You can be discouraged if you want to. You can throw in the towel if you want to. But I don't think you ought to. I think you ought to give every bit of energy you got and everything you got to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we ought to be reminded that God instituted the church. It's not man's toy to gimmick with and to play with and to try to market and try to keep up with. I think the purpose of the church is to come together and sing some good old songs and hymns and rejoice and pick the songbook up and sing praises to God and testify and to have preaching that reminds us what God wants us to do. And I think our purpose is to go out, not to beg sinners, but to preach the truth to people. Tell the truth to people. Say, preacher, I tried soul winning once. I got discouraged. I couldn't get anybody saved. Thank God you learned one thing. You can't get anybody saved. I've been around folks that have gone out and tried to beg people and that said, well, just say this prayer. Friend, listen, that's not what saves anybody. I've never believed that. Friend, listen, I've never felt that way. But listen, I tell you what I do believe. I do believe that God called us to be sowers, amen? And I believe He wants us to sow the truth, friend, and sow the seed. You can't deny that God wants us to sow the seed. See, but preacher, you don't know who's going to get saved. You're right, but the only way I'll ever have a part in helping anybody get saved is if I sow the truth, sow the seed. Amen. If you say, preacher, I don't talk a lot, get you some gospel tracts and start sowing the truth. Amen. Start sowing the seed. I heard a preacher say a wise statement. I like it. He said, you know what kind of preacher give out, what kind of people give out gospel tracts? The kind that carry them. I looked in my pocket and I said, oops. I heard him preach again the same night. You know what he said again? He said, you know what kind of people carry gospel tracts? He said, the kind that carry them. I said, I got me some tonight. Ain't going to get me again on that. He said, preacher, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. It's time you get over that unbelief. Amen. Because you cannot study the ministry of Jesus Christ without seeing a behooving from the time He got up in the morning to the time He went to bed. You can't study the ministry of the Apostle Paul without seeing that there was a burden to preach the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you don't know who's going to get it and who's not, all right? But I'll tell you what, you're not right with God if you don't have a burden to get the truth out. Why? Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Anybody comes around the church, they ought to hear the truth. Amen? And anybody gets around a Christian that's in a good church, they ought to hear the truth. Amen? They ought to hear the truth. And we ought not ever be ashamed of the truth. Amen? And we ought to realize tonight also, secondly, we ought to realize our role as intercessors. I think you can pray alone. I think you should. I think you should pray as a family. But I just want to stand up here tonight and endorse the prayer meeting and say I think Christian people ought to get together and have prayer meetings. I think we ought to pray together because I believe that the only way we can do anything for this old world is by the churches being what they ought to be. And I can't control any other church. I can't control this one. But I can make sure the devil don't control it. Amen. Old B.R. Lakin took a church and they got up that morning and they sang all kinds of songs that he'd never heard of. Nothing had to do with the gospel. He got up to preach and he said, folks, he said, piano player, he said, can you come back? He said, let's sing Amazing Grace. He said, I'm going to have something before I can preach. Sing Amazing Grace. Lady come to him. She said, I can see what kind you're going to be. She said, you're going to try to come in here and be a dictator and run this church. He said, not necessarily. He said, that wasn't my plan. He said, but I do recognize one thing. He said, God sent me here to stop you from being a dictator and running this church. And he said, from now on, we'll do it God's way. Can I tell you tonight that it may seem like there's no hope for America, but if you look around here, there's almost more children here than what there are adults. You say, well, that ain't good. Who says it ain't good? I get sick of hearing that. People say, how many of them were children? Well, I know what Jesus said. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such are the kingdom of heaven. So our church ain't really growing. They're just a bunch of kids. Huh? Well, Jesus didn't mind them. They rebuked them from coming to him, and they found out it was a bad idea. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe God's still working. I believe the sole single reason why God's blessing this church is because this church desires to be a pillar and ground of the truth. And if we ever cease to be that, then we're in the way. We're an obstruction to revival. That's what this verse said. Isaiah said, truth is falling in the streets. So iniquity can't get in. Judgment can't get in. So Jesus says, I withdraw my salvation. He told him in Revelation he would withdraw the candlestick. And he said, the churches have failed. So I'll come and bring judgment. Can I tell you what? When he comes, it's too late. It's too late. If we're going to see anything done for God, we need to do it now. Because when the trumpet sounds, it may be good for us, but it's going to be bad for this old world. It's going to be bad for those who don't know the Lord. There won't be no preaching then. There won't be no churches then. But God will have on His wrath and His fury. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you need to get saved. If God's dealing with your heart, listen, you know you're not saved. You know you're one heartbeat from eternity, and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and God's dealing with your heart about it. You need to accept Him. What a shame it is to put it off and not accept Him. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. Think about being guilty before God. Saying to God, God, I'm willing to put my guilt in your hands, and when I could accept Christ as my Savior, I wouldn't want to stand before God guilty. The Bible said He'll cast you into hell. where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If the Lord decides that the churches have failed and the time is to end, He'll withdraw His salvation. The church will go out. The Christians are going. And the reason why is so that God can pour out His wrath and His fury. And I pray that when He comes, I pray that there'd still be some churches that were still trying to get the job done, that hadn't given up and hadn't quit. And I pray this be one of them. I hope you'll join with me tonight in prayer about that. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I pray that you'll accept Christ. As He deals with your heart, you accept Him as your Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you stand? Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, have Your way. God, I pray that You would do something, dear Lord God, this preacher can't do. And that is stir the hearts of these people. God, stir my heart. Lord, I need revival in my heart. Dear Lord God, we could bring any preacher in the country and try to get revival, but Lord, You have to, revival comes from God. God, I pray You'd revive our hearts. And God, help us to be the church You'd have us to be, the Christians You'd have us to be. God, help us tonight to desire a touch from God. In Your name we pray. Amen. If you need to come tonight, you come. But you come, say, God, use me. Lord, help me to be, Lord, the help me to be the part that You want me to be, God. Help me to be what You would have me to be. You see, church is not a building. It's not an organization, but it's a body of believers. And if we as individuals are not strong, and if our families are not strong, then the pillars are weakened. The ground is weakened. We need strong Christians. We need strong saints of God. If you're here not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to do that tonight. You can come, guys. Listen.
Hey, it ain't not talking time.